transforming messages, anointed ministrations, uplifting praise and worship. Experience God's presence and power at Greater Works 2024. Speakers, Pastor Matthew Asimolowo, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, Bishop Mike Okonkwo, and host, Pastor Mensah Otterbill. Date, Monday 29th July to Friday 2nd August. Morning sessions from Tuesday 30th July to Friday 2nd August. Time, 9 a.m. Evening sessions. Time, 5 p.m. each night. Venue, ICGC Christ Temple East. Special song ministration by Nathaniel Bassey. Also ministering, ICGC choirs and worship leaders. Buses will be available at vantage points across the city to bring you to Christ Temple East and back. Visit gwcentral.org and our social media handles for more details. See you there!
And now, today's word.
Have you heard the phrase, people say, heaven helps those who help themselves? Have you heard that before? Have you used that phrase before? Heaven helps those who help themselves. And many times people even quote it as if it's in the Bible. Heaven helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. You don't find it anywhere in the Bible. When it comes to salvation, heaven does not help those who help themselves. If you help yourself, God won't help you. When it comes to your salvation, heaven helps those who cannot help themselves. Because if you can help yourself, save yourself. But if you say, I can't save myself, I am a sinner, I am lost, Lord save me, then he saves you. Heaven does not help those who help themselves. Heaven helps those who are helpless. God does not need your effort to save you. God saves you when you have no effort. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our salvation, therefore, does not depend on us, on your effort. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I want to stop drinking first. I want to be a Christian, but I want to stop smoking first. You know, I want to be come to church. I want to change, but these women, you let me stop with the women and then I'll come to church. No, what you're saying is, let me use my works before I come for grace. And if it is of works, then it's not of grace. If it is of grace, then you come as you are and you say, Lord, I am stuck. I'm a drunkard. I can't overcome this problem. Help me. And his grace becomes sufficient for you. So if it is of grace, it is grace. If you want works, go on works. But if you want grace, then stick with grace, because grace does not require your works. Our salvation does not depend on our effort to be good, our effort to be nice. You don't come to God after you have half polished yourself. Then you say, God, I've done half of the job already. So you do the other half. If it is of grace, then let him go all the way. I can't do it, Lord. Help me. I can't save myself. Save me. I can't heal myself. Heal me. If it's of grace, then it must be grace. So, depending on our works frustrates God's grace. And the reason why the Christian life sometimes gets very frustrating for us is because we try so hard in our own might to live for God. Some people believe in themselves so much that they can't believe God again. They can't believe God is able to save them to the uttermost. God is able to make the drunkard sober. God is able to deliver you from drug addiction. God is able to deliver you from womanizing or menizing. God is able to deliver you from gambling addiction. God is able to deliver you from habits you have formed all your life. The power of God in the gospel can deliver you from every bondage of the enemy. God can deliver you from the ancestral spirits of your family. God can deliver you from curses imposed on your parents that are affecting you. God can deliver you from witchcraft and juju power. God can deliver you to the uttermost. When he saves you completely. He doesn't save us half and half. But many times we try to do it by ourselves. And because we try to do it ourselves, the grace of God doesn't have full effect in our lives. But depending on God's grace goes beyond salvation. It also becomes the basis on which we receive other blessings from God. And I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. I won't read the verse 1 because it starts with the statement I don't want to read. Because it starts with, "Oh, foolish Galatians." You know, and I just feel that I don't want to. So I've just told you what's in verse 1, so we'll go to verse 2. I can imagine Paul's frustration. "Oh, foolish Galatians, what's wrong with you?" Okay, all right. So I won't read verse 1. Let's go to verse 2. I have summarized verse 1. Okay, verse 2. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 2. It says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" It's a rhetorical question, but the answer is suggested in the question. So the appropriate answer will be no. "Oh, foolish Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Obviously, by the hearing of faith. "Are you so foolish?" Now he has said it again. "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Obviously, the answer is by the hearing of faith. "Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Very interesting. Now, there are four things that grace enables us to do in this passage. Four things that grace enables us to do. The first thing that Paul asks is, he who supplies the Spirit, receiving the Spirit, grace enables us to receive the Spirit. Receiving God's Spirit in you does not come by the works of the law. It does not come by hard work. It does not come by long fast. It does not come by going to pray on some mountain and not eating for a very long time. Receiving God's Spirit comes by the hearing of faith. The infilling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is a work of grace. We don't receive the Holy Spirit because of our own efforts or works of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. We don't work for him to come into our lives. We simply acknowledge him and receive him by faith. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Not work hard, cry, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God," and hope that if he sees enough tears, he will say, "Oh, he's worked so hard, now let me give him the Spirit." Jesus said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father not give the Spirit to those who ask?" It's a gift. And if it's a gift, you receive it by faith. So grace enables us to receive the Spirit. Then the second thing he says that grace enables us to do is that grace enables us to be perfect. Living a life, perfect life before God is based on grace. We cannot become perfect through self-will. The grace of God is what allows us to live perfect, to overcome sin, to overcome our limitations and our shortcomings. When we trust God and we go to Him and we say, Lord, I can't overcome this problem. I can't deal with this problem. I've tried it. I've done everything I can. I can't deal with it. And Lord, I trust you. Take hold of my life. Use my life. Deliver me. Give me victory. And the grace of God will be sufficient for you. He helps us when we can't help ourselves. Living perfect is not a work of the law. It's a work of grace. And that is why any Christian who is able to overcome sin understands the grace of God more than anything else. Because you can see people and you can always say, there goes me, but for the grace of God. If you had somebody's trouble, you don't rejoice and say, hey, I'm a champion Christian. My spiritual muscles are very strong. As I don't bow to these sins. Me, I am holy. No. You find a brother who has fallen in sin, you say, there I go. That's me, but for the grace of God. If it wasn't for His grace, my story would be like that. If it wasn't for His grace, I would be the same situation where He is. It is His grace which enables me to overcome, to live in righteousness, to live in holiness, and to present my body as a living sacrifice to Him. It's all a work of grace. His grace. The third thing that Paul says, talking about ministering the Spirit. He who ministers the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is moving in somebody's life and the anointing is at work in somebody's life, Paul is asking, is he doing it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Obviously, we don't move in the Spirit by the works of the law. We move in the Spirit by the hearing of faith. When I was starting the ministry, you know, people used to tell me, you know, if you won't go to USU, you won't go to USU. This stomach, you have to put the stomach down. And the way they say it with their face squeezing, the stomach. It means you have to fast. And fast for a long time. And it's good to fast for a long time if you want to fast and dedicate your time just to love God and to know Him and to serve Him. But if you think that your long fasting will qualify you for God to use you, then you are not doing depending on grace. You are depending on your works. I fast, but my fast is not the reason why God hears me. God hears me because of His grace. The fasting allows me to let my flesh be silent so I can hear from God, so His grace will abound towards me. But the fasting does not attract grace. The grace is of God. The fasting only benefits me. It doesn't benefit God. Do you think God is moved because He saw you haven't eaten? God looks at His son. Oh, look at that son. He hasn't eaten. Hey, Gabriel, we have to answer his prayer. He hasn't eaten. And if we don't answer, then he won't be happy. No. God looks at us and He says, look at that son. He believes me. He believes my word. He believes my promises. And he's holding on to my word. And because of that, he's not eating, but he's holding on to my word. And because he trusts my word, I watch over my word to perform it. Not his fasting to perform it, but I watch over my word to perform it. He that ministers the Spirit to you, how does he do it? He doesn't do it by the works of the law. He does it by grace, the hearing of faith. And then he says the last thing. He who works miracles amongst you, working of miracles, how does it happen? signs and wonders. He says, by the hearing of faith. You want to see miracles in your life? It comes by grace and the hearing of faith. I've heard that there is a particular mountain somewhere in around Kumasi that people go to really fast. And they say if you can really get there and pray, God will hear you. I am not denying that people might have had some experience there. But the mountain is not the cause of that experience. Once you make a mountain the reason why you are blessed, you are walking by the works of the law and not by grace. Under the law, you had to go to the temple to pray. You had to go to a mountain to pray. Under the law, there were specific places where God said to Israel, there are specific places where I've put my name there, and you have to go to those places to pray. But under grace, Jesus said to the woman, woman at the well, woman, it's not on that mountain and on that mountain either. But the time is coming and now is that those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not on mountains. If you think going to a mountain or a specific place will release the power of God, the Bible says he who works miracles and ministers the Spirit, he doesn't do it by the works of the law. And that's why Paul in frustration says, oh, foolish Galatians, what's wrong with your brains? I feel that way this morning. All right. Now let me try and bring this to some conclusion. There are things that hinder the grace of God. And I'm going to just talk about four of them. Next week, I will expand it a little bit more when I talk about grace and how the law of grace, how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, it's possible to receive the grace of God in vain. You've received it and made it nothing. You've received the grace of God, this great treasure of God, but you have made it nothing. And there are four things that I'm going to talk about today that are critical, and they can make the grace of God in vain in our lives. God's grace is powerful, it is generous, it is great, it is extended to all of us. But it's possible to do some things to minimize the impact of God's grace in our lives. We've talked about walking in the law, trying to do it by ourselves. If you try to do it by ourselves, we are minimizing the grace of God. And I'm not saying that by that, just sit at home, don't work, and say, I believe in grace, 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 I'll prosper, grace, grace. There is a balance there, I'll work on that later. But there are things that hinder grace. The first one that hinders grace is having a haughty and proud spirit. A haughty and proud spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 to 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, I like how the Bible puts it. It starts and says, younger people, submit to older people. Then he says, yes, all of you submit to one another. So it's not one way. It's like that verse in Ephesians that says, wives, submit to your husband. Before it says, wives, submit to your husband, it says, submit to one another. Submission is not one way. You know, there are men who believe, you know, my wife must submit. My wife must not submit. That's a woman's job, must submit. But read the verse above. Before you say, my wife must submit, it says, we must submit one to another.